Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Oh, I'm winded. I'm not used to having to do stairs before worship anymore. I always had a nice little break during COVID. I'd stand there in the doorway for about 10 minutes, and I got to be like you and enjoy the organist. And that's been a bit of a change. I'm going to have to come back here when I'm in during the week, and I'll run up and down the stairs to get used to it. Welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in God's house on this day and give him all thanks and praise for the wonderful things that God has done for us. As we come this morning, a couple of brief announcements, a reminder of this afternoon's special service of solemn remembrance in memory of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. That's at 2:00 this afternoon, and we would welcome all who wish to gather, either here with us or via the live stream to do so. And looking ahead a little bit, in October we're going to be starting the Bible study for the fall season. The study is going to be on the Gospel of John. And so if you're interested in participating in that study, let me know, and we can start planning for that as we move into the month of October. And I think those are all my announcements for this morning, but we do have an update from a session which happened this past Tuesday evening.
Good morning. Session met on Tuesday, September 13th at 7 p.m. in the McClellan Room. It was good to be together in person again for the first time in 2.5 years because we've been doing our meetings via Zoom, so it was nice to be together. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to chapter 6, verse 2. The passage is a reminder of the great grace we have received in God so that we can live in community with each other. The promise of eternal life is upheld to us all, and we are blessed by him. The session passed a motion to establish two new committees, finance and property, to accomplish the work of the now dissolved Board of Managers. As a result of this change, session reviewed the committees and elders chose which committee they would like to lead. In the McClellan Room, you will find the names of the committees and the elder who will lead it. On the table, there are sheets with a short description of what each of the committee's function is, and you are invited and encouraged to join one of these committees. This is a part of how the work of the church is accomplished, and we hope you will prayerfully consider your gifts and how you can best share them. Carol Esdale reported that World Communion Sunday will be on October 2nd. We will continue to use the pre-sealed cups, but using the usual distribution in-house. Carol also announced that the McRae Bursary, a $250 prize given to a youth from St. John's who is attending post-secondary education, will be awarded on Sunday, October 9th. We hope you can join us for that celebration. On Sunday, October 30th, we will dedicate two plaques commemorating the donations from the Colleen Cox and Dorothy Cook estates, and we hope you can be there for that one as well. Reverend Adams will conduct communicant classes in the new year for youth. If your young person has not yet completed a communicant class, please speak to Reverend Adams. A new and interesting aspect of this nurturing of faith will be to have the youth choose a mentor. The mentors will participate alongside the youth in the classes. Keppel Barrett reported that the HST has been submitted and been returned, allowing the budget to come out positively at the end of August. Another rebate is being submitted for the year 2019. A big thank you goes out to John Matthews and Sally Mullen for their support, which has helped create a smooth transition for Darlene into her new role as bookkeeper. Thanks also goes to Keppel Barrett for his persistence. You may have heard we had an Enbridge problem, and after almost 24 hours on the phone with Enbridge, he was able to correct the billing error that was caused by a faulty meter and got a credit of $2,420. So, way to go, Kep. Reverend Adams asked that you remember Presbyterians sharing in your givings to ensure we will meet our commitment for 2022. Wes Libby reported that the tempered glass windows have been completed. This project has brightened the windows substantially, and when you leave the church this morning, take a peek on the outside, you can really tell the difference. Finally, I'd like to thank the elders for their commitment. Our meeting on Tuesday night was a marathon, and your participation and engagement was very much appreciated, so thank you.
Now, just to be clear, Keppel didn't sit on the phone for 24 straight hours. But he had to make several calls back and forth, and it did take an entire day's worth of hours and arguing and fighting and asking to be pushed up to the next level to get some satisfaction. So we're very grateful to him for his persistence and diligence in that task. As we prepare our minds and hearts for worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible reminder that Christ is the light of the world and that we seek to walk in the light of the Lord all the days of our lives. Let us come into worship this morning by saying the call to worship. The call will appear before you on the screen and is a responsive call. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. In your wisdom, O God, you call us here to worship you. We gather alive to the word of God. You call us to be fully alive with your life abundant, ready to listen and respond with heart, soul, strength, and mind. You call us to be always watchful for your word of wisdom, sometimes startling and unexpected, sometimes still and quiet, but always dwelling among us. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we have gathered to meet you. We have come to listen to you, to seek you, to worship you. You are the beginning of all things, the life of all things. You knew us before we were born. In you we become, in you we live. Loving God, you are here and everywhere, around us and within us. You know our inmost thoughts. In you we hope, in you we live. You are the source of serenity, giving peace that is beyond our understanding. In you we are still, in you we live. Loving God, we live in you, we worship you. Loving God, you live in us, we worship you. Amen. The opening hymn for this morning will appear before you on the screen, or is found in the Book of Praise at number 590. We have this ministry, hymn number 590. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, with hope in the mercies of God, we confess our sins before God and one another as we say together the prayer, as it will appear before you on the screen. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, hear the news, the good news, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? The good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we come this morning for this pause and this time for the young and young at heart to prepare our minds and thoughts for the message this morning. We're going to try something a little bit different, which is going to involve you moving around a little bit. Now don't get carried away, because you have to come back so I can preach the sermon. Because I know sometimes when congregations start moving, they kind of stop and they visit and they greet and they shake each other's hands, which is wonderful, don't get me wrong. But do it quickly. I'm going to ask you in a minute to move. Find somebody that you aren't married to or related to. Find somebody different, because often our families, they've heard these stories before. So find somebody new and share with them and say, good morning, I am Sarah. Well, you're not all Sarah, but you know what I'm getting at. Make sure to introduce yourself just in case. Every now and then it's surprising that sometimes we forget names, and especially after 2 years of masks, we forget what everybody looks like. So move, introduce yourself briefly, answer these two questions. I remember, put a name in, I remember someone who was significant in my Christian faith development. Somebody who was important in your church and important to you. And then, of course, in just a word or two, say why they were important. Okay? Got that? Say, good morning, my name is. Who was someone who was significant to your faith development? So for many of us, we're probably going to go back into childhood, but not necessarily. And then why they were important. Really quickly, move now. Choir, you can share amongst yourselves. There. Well, thank you, as folks are kind of making their way back. Thank you for participating in that. I hope you were able to share some cherished memories. For many of us, of course, the people who were significant in our faith lives may have been Sunday school teachers, maybe a minister, often family members, youth leaders, and we celebrate all of them. And as we come into our worship today and we look at the theme for our worship of all God's people have gifts, we will be looking at all of those all of those things that we do as the church and as individuals and members thereof to share our faith with others. So that's what we will be exploring this morning. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of Jesus Christ, give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, so that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened. Help us to know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of your power at work in us. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 5 and 13 to 18. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now King Hiram of Tyre sent his servants to Solomon when he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram had always been a friend to David. Solomon sent word to Hiram, saying, "You know that my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the warfare with which his enemies surrounded him, until he put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. So I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord said to my father David, your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name." King Solomon conscripted forced labor out of all Israel. The levy numbered 30,000 men. He sent them to the Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They would be a month in the Lebanon and then 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon also had 70,000 laborers and 80,000 stone cutters in the hill country, besides Solomon's 3,300 supervisors who were over the work, having charge of the people who did the work. At the king's command, they quarried out great costly stones in order to lay the foundation of the house with dressed stones. So Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the Gebalites did the stone cutting and prepared the timber and the stone to build the house. Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 92, verses 1 to 8. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night.
To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At your right hand I sing for joy.
How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep.
The dullard cannot know, the stupid cannot understand it.
Though the wicked sprout like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever.
But you, O Lord, are on high forever.
And the next reading from the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. And the last reading from the New Testament, John chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us sing the hymn, "I am the church, you are the church." It will appear on the screen or is found in your book of praise at 475.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters in Christ. What I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For most of you, this isn't news, okay? But for those who may be finding us online, I'm going to draw this to their attention. But you should pay attention to it too. Because sometimes when we grow too accustomed to something, sometimes we forget to observe it and to think about what it stands for. But in the main hallway downstairs here at St. John's, there is a photo. You walk by it every time you come in. It's taken in the late 1950s, and it's, I meant to look it up just to double check. I think it's about 175 men, because it was taken in the 1950s, right? So it's all men, all dressed in their suit and ties, commissioned and ready to be sent out on a congregational visitation to raise funds for the expansion of this building and the construction of what we now know as McConnell Hall. From what we can tell in that picture, if you think about it, it was a lovely Sunday afternoon. None of them are wearing coats. There are no umbrellas to be seen. It's a lovely day. But these men, our ancestors in the faith, although a couple of them are still with us, but mostly our ancestors in the faith, were willing to set aside the time, their time, on that Sunday afternoon to contribute to the life of this congregation by going out to every home in this church and inviting them to be part of this great new mission of our congregation and the expansion of the building that would accommodate it. I immediately thought of that photograph that we walk by every time we come through the door. That photograph of those men, as I was reading once more from Reverend Porter's little tract and his appeal for everyone to find their place in the church. If you weren't with us last week, over the next few weeks, we're doing a sermon series based on this little booklet entitled The Duties of a Church Member to the Church, written by Reverend Elliot Porter and published by Westminster Press in 1941. So it's not new stuff, but it's good stuff. It's well-aged and fine wine. Now as it turned out, you see, Reverend Porter talked just about those men in that picture, in this book, in one little paragraph. He was encouraging everyone to find their place and making the point that each of us has been given gifts, skills, talents, and abilities that we can offer to God in our service to the church. And he wrote these words, "Are you a businessman? Or a lawyer? Or a banker? There is heavy work each year in the financial canvas and in the making of the budgets. The minister knows people facing business trouble who need some disinterested person to help them to see them through their difficulties." That encouragement to be part of the financial canvas each year, what those gentlemen were preparing to do in that picture, part of their sharing of their gifts, skills, talents, and abilities. And he points them out in that little paragraph. He speaks of others as well, but that was the one that stood out for me. Of course, Reverend Porter wasn't writing this because he thought, oh yeah, everybody just does this. The reason for this tract is indeed that he knew the opposite was true, that it is far too easy sometimes to take things for granted, to take your church for granted, to walk into church on a Sunday morning, to marvel at the fine stained glass windows and the thunderous organ, to listen to the minister's message, a tonic for another week. Hopefully fine too, but, and then to go on our way. But Porter argues that if we do that and that alone, then life misses something. It is, he says, like spending time on a cruise ship. It's fine to go for a cruise and spend a week sailing the seven seas, a nice time away, relaxation and rest. But he said one would quickly get tired of it if there was no activity or involvement in that cruise. You can't cruise, although you do see stories on the news, but I think these people live. You know, you can't cruise all the time. You have to come home. Now, Porter juxtaposes that sort of cruise mentality to a working ship. A tanker, a freighter, a container ship, where each member of the crew who is on that ship, month in, month out, is there because they are united in a common purpose of moving that ship forward in the sea to get to its destination. Working alongside others in our church or anywhere in life for the praise and glory of God is what gives our lives shape and meaning and purpose. Time and again, in his letters to the early church, the Apostle Paul reminds the early church that everyone has a gift, and that those gifts have been given to us by God for the service of our Lord Jesus Christ and his church, and that we should use them in that way. It's what we heard this morning, right? Let those who encourage be encouraging. Let those who give, give with cheerful. No. It was compassion and cheerfulness. God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, I've kind of forgotten that one. But right, he has that list of characters and qualities that we each bring to our lives and that we can use in the service of our God. No gift is too small, and no gift is too big. Paul couches this reading today as by defining it in terms of being conformed and transformed. We can take all of the little tasks and the little and abilities of human life, and we can use them in the service of our risen Lord. And as we do so, we transform the profane into the holy. And in so doing, we too become transformed. We become more engaged in the life of our congregation. And we become more content in our experience of our church, because suddenly we're aware of all of the things that have to happen behind the scenes to accomplish God's mission in this place and at this time. We are thankful for all of those people who work around the church each week, getting things done for the kingdom of God. For the WOC and their fundraising efforts, through all of their work in the kitchen, and I miss them every summer when they go away, so I'll be happy to have them all back soon. But for those women, we give thanks to God. For Gail and Connie, who take care of the Fundscript campaign. It is a big task. It requires them to be here each week. And for that, we give thanks to God. For Susan McDonald and all of those who will keep the use of the building ticking along, and that can be a monstrous task with the many people who come through our doors each week. For their work, we give thanks to God. For the tech crew that sends our worship out into the world, we give thanks to God. For the choir who meets each week, or hopefully we'll get back to that habit soon, and leads our singing in worship, and who has been the source of our designated singers throughout the period of COVID. We give thanks to God for them and for their gifts that they bring each week. There are countless people doing countless things in this place, using the gifts that God has given them so that they can be of service to Christ and Christ's kingdom in this place, in this church. But any and each of these tasks could use you. If your gifts lie in one of those areas that I've mentioned, then please ask, find somebody that can put you in touch with somebody that you too can be a part. Singers. We need singers. Choir? Nods from the choir. We need singers. There are so many things that we could do in the choir if we had two or three or a dozen more members. Musicians. Let us know if you play an instrument. We will use your gifts in worship as we have been blessed with Ariel's gifts this morning. So we give thanks this morning for Ariel. Perhaps there are things that we haven't even thought about yet. We haven't even done yet. Maybe there are new opportunities to be lived out for Christ in the world in this place. Perhaps you would like to see us more engaged in mission. We need someone who will talk with the organizations that we now serve, organizations like Baldwin House and Agape, and find out how we can better serve them and expand our ministry there. One congregation I served as an interim minister many years ago had a group of men who came together each week. They enjoyed a cup of coffee and fellowship together, and then they set off to tend to the little tasks that exist in every church. Reglazing the basement windows, painting rooms, inspecting the building for winter. I could go on and on. The list of how you can serve is endless. As it so happens, this morning, there are lists at the back of the church. Now, I did not know those lists were going to be there when I was writing this sermon. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. But there are lists at the back of the church this morning, as you heard Cynthia summarize the session meeting. And there you can sign up and volunteer for one of our own committees to share in the ministry of St. John's. And there is something for everyone. And if you don't see it there, find two other people, talk to them about it, and then come and see me, and let's do something different. As Solomon was preparing to build the great temple, he sent word out to his leaders throughout the land that he needed laborers. People who would work on this very special project that would give glory to God. He was looking for workers to build a temple. Laborers and woodworkers and stone cutters. Everyone had their part to fulfill. As we, the church, stand at this moment, a moment in which there seems to be so much change happening in our world and so little is certain, we do question from time to time, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? Right? We wonder, what is the role of the church in a world where religious participation has been waning? How do we minister in a world of many faiths and no faith? What is the post-COVID church going to look like? And that's a book that even has yet to be written. But amidst so much uncertainty, this one thing we know. For Scripture testifies time and again about this reality. That God has gifted the church with people to live out the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then as we come together as a congregation, we commit ourselves to that task. The question then that I leave you with today? The question that has gone down through the ages for all of us, including those people that we remembered this morning as we were moving around the sanctuary, the great saints and witnesses of the past, each of them had to answer this question too. Where is God calling you? And then let us move forward into that ministry together. Thanks be to God. Amen. With thankfulness, we give in gratitude and joy. With prayerfulness, we give in sacrifice and love. With hopefulness, we give in commitment to God. Let us now present the gifts of our life for the sake of Christ's church. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings. Gracious God, we give our best, lest in gaining the world we lose life itself. As a covenant people, we seek to witness to your will and way. Help us to know more clearly what you would have us do with the health, with the wealth entrusted to our care. As we contribute to the needs of your people, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, which is our reasonable service. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Steadfast God, your love and faithfulness are always with us. We give you thanks that there is no end to our hope when you are with us. By your power, all exiles are welcomed home and all things are restored. Therefore, we pray with confidence to you who are above all things, knowing that you take notice of those who are bent low, that your strong arm takes hold of those who are in the midst of trouble. To anyone in despair, send your deliverance swiftly. For those longing for home, return them, we pray, to a place of safety and love. For anyone estranged from another, we pray that reconciliation might be accomplished, or that an ending may become the pathway to a new beginning. Loving God, you promise comfort to the one in sorrow and help to the one in time of trouble. Lift us all up so that we can see your salvation. Help us and help the nations to learn your justice and to practice it. Silence the deafening drumbeat of war, so that we may learn a song of thanksgiving. Before the world wears out like a garment, before we turn your Eden into a waste place, correct our habits. We desire to be better caretakers of the garden of the Lord. We thank you for the gifts of the church and for the varied gifts and perspectives that you place among us. Help us to welcome the diversity of your design in ways that enlarge our witness in the world. We thank you especially for Jesus Christ, who has called us to be his body in the world. And we pray all things in his name. Hear us now as we continue praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is the hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. The hymn will appear before you on the screens and can be found in your book of praise at number 635. And now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.